All right. Welcome to the second episode of The Night Cafe.
Hello.
That's my guest today, Bobby Sheehan.
Hi, everybody in podcast land.
Yeah, podcast land. This is a show I'm obsessed with the things that people are obsessed with. So I have people I think are interesting and funny come in. Yes, that's you, Bobby. And they tell me about some of those things. You've prepared a list of stuff?
Nah.
No? Oh, that's too bad. That was like the one thing I needed you to do.
I did, but imagine if I didn't. That would be funny for me, and you would probably be upset, though.
No, I mean, we would probably just have to wing it. It's more fun when you have the list.
Right.
I found that it's like a nice way to like, it'll come up with a topic, and then you can kind of jump off and do other stuff and come back, but it's more structured than just, like, I didn't want to have, like, the billionth podcast that was, like, we're just shooting the shit about comedy. So, like, I wanted to put a little structure into it. We know each other from stand-up.
Yes, we do. We both teller of jokes. This is my second podcast being a guest. The first one was The Midnight Snack with Joe and Jim, or Joe and Jim and their jammies, as I like to call it.
Big plug for that.
Yes, everybody, check it out. Turn this off, all five of you, turn it off.
Hey, we had more than five last time.
Can you, okay, because I was asking James how many people, and I don't think he wanted to tell me, because he's like, I don't know. So is that something you could know? How many people listen?
The website tells you. It'll tell you your downloads, and it'll tell you your listens.
Okay. So he's being a silly goose then.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It must be enough for him to keep doing it. It's the same thing with me. It wasn't like I'm quitting my job or anything, but like,
you're not? This isn't.
Well, maybe. I've like what I don't really even have like I production assistanting is not.
Which is the reason your apartment looks like this, right?
Yeah, well, no, that's just cuz I'm not a functional person most of the time. I'm not good at cleaning. There's like clothes everywhere.
I don't know how, and I don't mean this with any moral tinge to it, but I could not live like this. Like, this is fine because I know I'm going to leave in a few hours.
Yeah, you've mentioned that you're a neat person.
I am. Would you peg me as being a neat person?
It doesn't surprise me.
I'm wearing glasses right now, so like, I feel...
Yeah, that's part of it, I guess. Yeah, no, I've always been kind of a naturally... Like, I kind of enjoy... messiness. It makes, like, if something's too clean, it kind of stresses me out that
really?
I'm gonna mess it up, like,
okay.
So I'd rather just not have the pressure of it being clean in the first place. Like, if you saw the house I lived in college, you'd have a heart attack.
Okay.
It was like five people that had the exact same sort of like, fuck it, whatever. And I ended up being the one that was the clean one. Like, I finally was like, this is ridiculous. Like, I'm gonna fucking clean the bathrooms.
You became, like, the patriarch of,
Yeah, just out of sheer, like, it took... The amount of shittiness it took to get me into that position. Like,
yeah.
It was awful. This is messier than I like having it. I just haven't had time to...
This is good, though, because you're a comedian, so your room can look like... Like, if people look at my room, they're like, okay, what sort of accounting firm do you work for? You know? Like, you at least have the... Oh, there's creative things going on in this room. He doesn't have time to... This is like organized chaos, though. Like, I know that you know where everything is.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's separated. Like, there's a bunch of clothes over there, and then I just haven't cleaned up the table in a few days.
I'm a neat person, and unfortunately, a person that I live with... I don't know why I said it like that. My roommate does not share that value at all. He's a great guy, but...
Did you know him before this?
No, I met them on Craigslist. Does anybody actually meet their, like, know their roommates anymore?
Some people must.
I don't know. I feel like a couple of years ago you could have said, my roommates, like, I found my roommates on Craigslist, and it would have, like, shocked people, but now it's like, well, of course you did.
Yeah, that's sort of just how it is, or, like, Brokelist or something like that.
Yeah. I'd be nervous about moving in with somebody that I'm friends with. Because, like, that seems like a good way to not be friends with someone.
Oh, absolutely. It's strenuous, for sure.
Okay.
Having your own...
You said it like, this is coming from experience?
Well, yeah, no, just from college. Like, mm-hmm. I just, like, every time you pick a group of people to live with, you suddenly find out that you're just, like, one of those people. It's not going to work It's tough. But
I never had a house in college.
Oh, really?
I never, like, lived with... Like, I had a suite, but it was, like, one of like a dorm suite, so there's not so much chaos that could happen. You still have, like, the RAs that could come in.
Yeah, so. We were... my junior and senior year, we had, like, this little shitty little house off campus. It was fun, but it was definitely tough sometimes.
I don't know. I would like, I was saying before... before the podcast started, I definitely want to live by myself, but it's just not feasible now. I don't know how to work it now, but I would live in the same area. I would live in Weehawken, New Jersey, and stay there and pay the same amount I pay for a smaller place, like, provided, like, the payoff is I get to live by myself.
Oh, yeah.
That's the dream.
It's amazing.
Until I find someone that lets me fuck them more than once, then that's the dream, but I don't want to get, like, unrealistic, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we're shooting for the stars there. All right. I know, I'm right in the same fucking boat. Let's get into it.
Yes.
Let's do your... What's your number five thing?
My number... Oh, we go in descending order.
Yeah, we'll go 5-1.
Okay, I don't want to, you know, maybe
you,
I shouldn't...
You can do them in any order.
I think I'm going to do them in the order that I wanted them in, but we could say this is number five.
Okay.
They actually, there's no order.
So just the first of five things.
Okay, cool. Now that we talked about that for way longer than was needed, number five is definitely mental spanking.
Okay.
Yes.
You're going to have to elaborate on that.
Anthony, I don't think it needs elaboration.
I feel like just for the sake of, like, what this is.
All right, so, like, you understand what I'm saying, but you want everybody else out there to...
Yeah,
to
be... we'll go with that.
All right, cool. Mental Spanking was a punk band that I was in high school.
Nice.
Yes.
That's awesome. What did you play in it?
So I do know how to play guitar, but in that band I just sang.
That's awesome.
Well, I kind of fell into it, too, because... it started off as a three-piece punk band. My friends Ray, Sam, and John. And actually the original drummer was this guy named Alex. But when I met them, it was Ray, Sam, and John. And they had... each of them would sing. And I've seen them play at shows, and they're just silly. Like, sort of like avant-garde. We don't... Like... It's the early 2000s, right? So, like, punk's not cool anymore. Like, you're not, like, awesome for wearing a leather jacket. So you kind of have to have this thing about you, like, this is stupid and everything is stupid. So I thought that was so cool just watching three of my friends play. And I became, like, their biggest fan. Like, I knew all the words to their song, to their songs. And one day they were like, oh, you know, both of us are having issues with our voice. Could you sing just for one show? And when I got there, both of their voices were fine. I think they just wanted an out in case it didn't go well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I went up there, and, I mean, it was great. I mean, it was like a town hall with, like, 70 people, which was, like, a big deal. It was like, dude, like, this is punk scene in Hudson Valley, 70 people, that's as big as it gets.
I went to college in the Hudson Valley. I know about the punk scene.
Yeah.
It's tough. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was, and we sang all our hits. There's Fuck White People, You Smell Like Crap, which is mostly about
hating
anarcho-punks. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And very much so. I mean, different, like, types of white. Like, John, he still has, like, crazy dreadlocks, you know, straight edge guy. Sam, who's, like, the only, like, quote-unquote real musician. I mean, his job is being a musician. He's he's in a band called Breakfast with the Boys, which I just said it because I like to say it. If I could name any of my sets. Like, do you name your sets?
No, I don't.
Of course not. I was joking.
I was just going to take you at your word. I don't know. Maybe you just have a list of things. Like, every time I record something, it's just like, New York Comedy Club, 1-17.
Oh, do you actually name them?
Yeah, I'll label them.
That's a good idea, man. I never do that, and sometimes I think it's helpful, like, to, like, film your comedy sets, like, to know what, like, open mic you did or what show you did, like, where it is, could, like, make so much more sense.
Yeah, I usually just do audio. I don't have a ton of videos.
Oh, my God, I would never fucking... I mean, I guess you're supposed to, and at some point I will, but, like, I can't... It's painful enough for me to listen to my own voice. I can't imagine, like, look... Well, I did look at a video of me doing Comedy Fight Club.
On the Periscope feed?
Yes, I did. I am a little bit narcissistic. I wanted to see what I look like, and Jesus fucking Christ, what a... I can't... I mean, I hate the way I look. I knew that already going into it. But just my man... Like, I had so much nervous fucking energy. I look like a complete douche up there.
No, I think everybody does. Like, that's just how people look standing with Matt Maron in between them.
Right.
It's you did good for your first fight, too. You got one really good shot in on him at the beginning.
I wish someone had... Like, I wish... I had known that was the good one, because I don't know if you remember, but I had another one after that. So I'm like, and I want to get them out. So everyone's like cheering, and I can't even be in the moment and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like Matt, got everybody to be quiet, and then I told my lukewarm joke, and I still won the round because everyone was nice enough to still give it to me.
One great one is usually all it takes.
Like, okay.
If you really get a good knockout punch, like. Daniel J. Parafan against Alex Patak this week. He had that one destroying joke that won him the whole fight, basically. The one about the...
Oh, yeah, the bestiality? Yeah.
Okay. He told... I'm not going to quote his joke, but he told some joke implying that some guy, like, thought interracial porn was animal porn, but...
And I don't know Alex too well, but... or at all, really, but... that joke is so well crafted that you knew, you're like, okay, this is who he is, and this is why the joke is funny.
Yeah, it's going to be you and James this week is going to be interesting.
No one's more excited about it than James.
Yeah, no,
James has been texting me nonstop. He's like, he was like, I'm going to tell you one of my jokes, and then you tell me one of yours. I'm like, no.
Yeah, don't do that. No, that's bad.
Because when he went against Mike Alloy, he was telling me a whole bunch of jokes, and prior to like me seeing him perform at Fight Club, the only thing that I knew about him is that he's Russian. Like that's which was helpful because those were about half the jokes. But
yeah,
I'm like, James, do you want to talk to somebody that knows this more about me? But he's so much about comedy. I find it endearing.
That's hilarious. Were you always into punk music?
Just yes.
Like getting back?
Well, not like when I was a baby.
Well, yeah, but like I was too. I love punk rock. I went to see Anti-Flag last night.
Yeah, I saw that. How are they?
They're fucking great. It's the second time I've seen them. They put on such a good show. They were opening for Real Big Fish.
Yeah, which you're a big fan of.
I enjoy Real Big Fish. It's not like I'm going to be wearing their t-shirt and stuff. But
no, you want to get laid every once in a while.
Hey, and dude, the two things are not mutually exclusive.
Really?
I'm taking more than one girl to see Real Big Fish.
That's a good, because they're kind of edgy. You know, they're like a...
It's fun. It's like fun music. Everybody's dancing and having a great time.
Yeah.
It's like fun music, and people know it. Like, they kept doing this thing where they would... Beer is like one of the only songs that anybody wants to hear.
Yeah, yeah.
So they'd keep being like teasing it. They'd be like, this is a song that was in the soundtrack of a comedy in the 90s. And everybody would go nuts. And then they'd play a completely different song and be like, that was in Father's Day with Billy Crystal. Like it wasn't basketball. And then another time they were like, this is the song you guys all want to hear. And then they played Impression That I Get by the Boston's.
Right. Well, that's a great... I just realized right now that that's not their song by you saying it was from the Boston's.
They did it again. They played Self Esteem, The Offsprings.
Yeah, see, this is just one band. Well, actually, no. Self Esteem by The Offsprings. Yeah, that's a... Did they incorporate horns into it, too?
Yeah.
Dude, I love ska music. Ska has that kind of... It's the one genre where you could do, like, a cover of the... not genre, and it's like cool.
That's like have you ever heard Me First and the Gimme Gimmies?
Yeah
that's like all they do. It's so great.
They have an entire live album that's just, I forget the fucking name of it. You probably know it, but it's you know, instead of playing at a theater or an arena, they play at this kid's bar mitzvah. Like it's live at so-and-so's bar mitzvah.
Yeah, that's Fat Mike's in that. Who's your favorite? Because that just reminded me, like, NoFX for me is, like, the top.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's the top?
I have a Propagandhi tattoo.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do.
That's so sick.
I regret it in the sense that, I don't regret it, but as you could see, my body is kind of rejecting it, or maybe you can't see, but if you were to feel it, and I'm not trying to make you touch me, I mean, at some point.
What's
but,
it say around it?
It's their logo. The A is for anarchy.
Uh-huh.
And around it says, pro-feminist, animal-friendly, anti-fascist, gay-positive.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, that's crazy. That's...
And, you know, for a 15-year-old kid to buy a CD with that on it, your music has to be really fucking good.
Yeah.
Because I was not all about those things at 15.
Yeah, propaganda is crazy. That's some good stuff.
So. I shook hands with Chris Hanna. I have washed my hands since then, but I still masturbate with it. So.
Nice. As how many people have asked you, does that mean Avengers?
Dude, and I am not a comic book person. Like, I've never seen the Avengers. I probably never will. And I feel like such a cheese dick too. Like, if you don't know who Propagandhi is, and then I just tell you, like, this is a sign for anarchy already, you're like, you're a fucking idiot. And then when I tell you the words around it, you're like, okay, now you're a virtue signaling idiot.
I can't believe I never knew you had that. That's so cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's pretty big.
Yeah.
How old were you when you got it?
I was in college. So 20, 21?
Nice. That was when I got a punk tattoo too.
You do?
Yeah, and mine is equally sort of like, mine's like here. That's Andrew Jackson Jihad.
Okay. Oh, wow, you're really, like, I don't even, I'm the metric of, like, cool stuff to listen to, but I haven't even checked them out.
They're
more folk punk, though, aren't they?
Yeah, they started more folk punk, and now they're, like, they keep evolving, and now they're called AJJ. So I tell that joke about I have a tattoo of a band that's not called what it was when I got it. But the thing is a crown and an X.
Okay.
And it's taken from a Basquiat painting. And I found out like a year after I got it that the crown and the X technically stands for Dr. King Malcolm X. So I have like a black power tattoo. So like people tell me all the time, they're like, dude, if jail wasn't going to be easy for you already, like, they're gonna see that. Like, that's what everyone says. It's like, you better never go to jail.
Yeah, because that's not, like, something that I think a large black man would appreciate. I think that's something he would, like, fucking
but
hate
it's
you
like
for.
The whitest band ever, and this is
right.
Their official symbol.
Yeah, that's such a folk punk thing, to have a black power
but that's not technically,
symbol.
But that's like, it's like speculation, but Basquiat was such a racially motivated painter.
Okay.
So that's...
I was going to go this whole time pretending like I knew who that was.
He was a painter who just did a bunch of heroin and made a lot of protesty paintings. And one
that was probably very disrespectful to his legacy, Anthony.
Well, you know, I already gave him the shout out that he...
Okay. The bump, he's dead now, though, isn't he?
Yeah, you can't do heroin for too long and make it, unless you're Keith Richards. But, yeah, so that's a lot of punk people. A lot of punk people never, like, really made it past there.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, that's kind of like, well, they're kind of like rock stars in general in that they either die in their 20s or they live forever.
Just go on and on forever. Well, certain people, like Ian MacKay is not going anywhere.
No.
But he never was like that. He was always straight edge.
Yeah, well, he picked the right ideology not to fucking kill over. I always wonder if he, like... because if you ask him about it, he hates that it, like, started a movement, and he particularly hates that it's, like, a terrorist organization in Utah where people, like, get jumped outside of bars.
Yeah.
Because they're fucking drinking a scotch or eating a candy bar. Can you imagine, like, if that wasn't part of your life? Like, if you didn't know what, like, Hardline was, which is, like, the vegan straight edge, like, militant mm-hmm. movement... And, so, like, you had to explain to someone, I got jumped outside of a bar, and I don't know if it was because of the Budweiser I was drinking or the fucking candy bar that I had just polished off. Like, it's such a weird thing to explain.
I can't imagine. Have you ever seen the movie Salt Lake City Punk?
No, but I imagine they talk about this.
Well, yeah, it's about two guys in Salt Lake City. One of them is straight edge and one of them's not, but they're like...
Is it a documentary?
No, okay. It's Matthew Lillard, like, from Scooby-Doo and shit. It's, like, the best acting he's ever done.
Okay. Are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm dead serious. Okay. It's a good movie. It's actually Jason Segel's first movie, too. But it's, like, there's a bunch of parts where, like, they're always at odds with the rednecks of the town and having these, like, street fights and stuff. It's an interesting movie.
Yeah.
It's all about hardcore.
Is it more authentic than SLC Punk?
That's the same movie. What do you think the SLC stands for?
Wait, did you just describe SLC Punk to me and I didn't realize it?
Yeah.
We're talking, like, Heroin Bob.
Yeah, and Matthew Lillard.
Oh, I'm a fucking doofus. You serious? You explained it in such a way that I didn't get it, though. I promise I was listening to you.
What did I say that wasn't true? It's Matthew Lillard. It's about the
whole scene. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, he did play Scooby-Doo.
He was okay. Shaggy.
Yeah. Posers never die, Bob.
Yeah.
Fuck. That is, he
and
is
Devin Sawa from Final Destination has all the acid in his pocket at that one part.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I'm such a fucking but you know what? Like, I don't know actors,
yeah,
at all.
I also didn't call it by its.
Yeah, you said Salt Lake City Punk.
But that's what the SLC stands
yeah,
for.
Yeah, I don't. There were a bunch of things that should have made me realize that that's what it was.
That's very funny. But I love. I didn't know that we had this in common. That's so cool.
No,
that punk rock is awesome. My first concert ever was Green Day.
I love Green Day.
Me too. It was the American Idiot Tour. Jimmy World was opening up. It was like...
Was it at Giant Stadium?
Yeah.
Oh, was it in...
It was like September 2004.
Yeah, we were there together.
Nice.
I think. Holy shit!
That's sick.
I mean, that's not that crazy. I mean, Giant Stadium's pretty big.
Yeah,
Green Day's a popular band. We could still be happy about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was, why take it away, you know?
I remember I was really upset that I couldn't have a mohawk that day. Because you remember, it was right before school started, right?
It was either right as or right before.
And for me, it was the right before ninth grade. And I went to Catholic school in high school.
Mm.
And we went to orientation like a few days before the concert, and I knew that I wasn't going to get away with. I had a mohawk at the time, like a shaved both sides of the head, like standing up, like both of my fingers, both of my hands going out like crazy. I looked like a big rooster.
How long did it take you to like get that? Like, would your hair be like really long?
My hair grows super long, and no, I cut it short. Like. As short as my hair is now, you're welcome, people listening. About a couple inches, I guess. But I kept shaving the sides and let the actual hair grow. And it looked fucking stupid, but I was so happy. But then I went to orientation at this Catholic school, and I had it like combed to the side, like just like an emo looking kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And they pulled me aside. Like me and the other misfits in orientation. There was this black guy with like a big fucking mohawk with a comb in it, and there's a guy with long hair. We're like each person from a subculture of high school. I like how I just made black another subculture. It's fucking stupid.
Yeah, that was one of the ones in Breakfast Club, right?
It was like the nerd, the jock, the black. I'm very self-conscious about laughing into the microphone because my dad listened to the other podcast we were talking about. Probably like the first 10 minutes of it, just to be a good father. And he comments back, "Oh, you guys are funny. Don't laugh. Like, don't. No one likes to laugh." Oh, no. He didn't say don't laugh. He said don't giggle, which made it, like that much worse and, like, emasculating.
Well, at the beginning of that episode, we were all already, like, in this uncontrollable laughing fit that,
yeah.
Like, opens that up. That was a really fun show to do. And I've listened to the other ones. Our episode is very atypical. Like,
really?
We're joking around and doing bits. Like, we do those, like, you do the fake impressions at one point.
Yeah.
Like, usually it's just people talking about comedy. Like, we had, like, a good time with it.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, that's just what ended up coming out of my mouth. I don't know if I would be good at talking about comedy.
Yeah, just, I'm,
weird.
Well, especially at our level, like, who, what are we gonna,
no one cares what we think.
All right, this is, like, my favorite part of doing this
okay.
show, is finding out stuff like that about people. I think we covered punk rock.
Okay.
For now, okay. What is your next thing?
My second one is very generic. I'm almost embarrassed by how generic it is, but I have to mention food.
Food.
I just love food. That's Food's always been a big part of my life.
That's a great one. So, do you cook?
No, I don't know how to cook.
I'm not a good cook either.
Like, every once in a while, if I'm feeling, like, really, like, special, I'll, like, make a salad and, like, cook. I don't know. I like these vegetarian chicken patties.
Okay.
And I'll, like, this is my idea of cooking. I make a really nice big salad. I cook the patty, and then I cut it, and I put the pieces of chicken on top, like croutons, peanuts. I like putting peanuts in my salad, egg whites, some olive oil, and then a slab of peanut butter on the side. And that's like, wow,
I cooked. Chef. No, that is like cooking.
I mean, whenever I go to like any sort of potluck thing, I'm always like, I'll make the salad. No one fucking. But it's so easy. You just chop up lettuce and you throw shit on it and you try to make it look good. But that's like my extent of cooking. I eat out so much.
Me too. It's horrible,
dude.
Especially doing what we do, like late at night, it's so easy.
$1 pizzas.
Yeah, it's so easy to just eat out all the time. There's a McDonald's like right down the street that I walk past every day, and it's every day that I don't go in is like an accomplishment.
It's a victory.
Yeah, like, or just even Grubhub, like you can order anything straight to the door.
Yeah, like my one rule, like the rule to like mind my waistline is that I won't get food delivered to my house. Like, if I want Chinese food, I have to put on my pants and my shoes and walk to the Chinese place. I don't know, like, that just keeps me. I have to.
I broke the seal on the Grubhub, like, a month ago.
Okay.
And it's been real bad. I have to, like, figure out how to, like, erase it from the computer. So, food, you mentioned Chinese food. Do you have, like, a favorite, like, you get one meal, like, what...
Well, I have a very interesting thing that's happening to me now, because I was vegan and then vegetarian. Well, vegetarian, vegan, and then vegetarian again, and then back. Now I'm back into meat.
Nice.
So, like, I'm like back to the land of meat. Like, I was gone for so long, and now I'm just like, I had chicken and broccoli, and I'm still excited to eat like chicken, which is like the most boring of meat, right? Like, most people. Especially chicken with broccoli. It's just brown sauce cooked with rice, but I was so happy to eat it. And I still eat, like, all the vegetarian stuff that I used to eat.
It's healthy.
Yeah.
What made you come back? You were just...
So, that is... I always anticipate that question when I tell people that... I used to hate telling people why I was vegetarian, because it always made me... Even when I, like... Even when it was something I really believed in, I always felt like an asshole, you know, especially when I was eating with other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because nobody likes factory farming, except for, I guess, the people that's how they get money.
Yeah, that profit off it.
Right. And, you know, I'm a big Propagandhi fan. They mm-hmm. had a big influence on me. So I was vegan for, like, a couple of years, and I stopped being, like, a year or so ago. And I just got tired of the being the special... The special guy, like,
yeah.
You go over a person's house, like, there's so many times, like, I want to get a time machine and go back and be like, I'm sorry for not eating your grandmother's chicken, because, like, food is such a cultural thing, and I felt like I was being a jerk the whole time. This weird simultaneous thing where, like, I'm doing the right thing, but also I'm a douchebag, and,
yeah.
And now I'm, like, on the opposite end of the spectrum. Like, I eat, like, dog... But I ate, like, dog shit when I was a vegan, too. I was never...
You can figure out how to eat shitty. Like you can eat french fries all you fucking want, right? Like,
and I was skinny for most of the time I was vegan, so people assume that I was healthy, but that's not true. Like, I used to... in college, I would get, like... anything that I could get fried that happened to be vegan. So, remember, my staple was, like... French fries. They used to make vegan pizza, like, especially for me. Again, being a douchebag, because I'd make someone, like, make a pizza especially for me. A piece of bread, and applesauce. That was my fruit.
Nice.
That's not a well-balanced... That's almost all starch.
Yeah.
And fake dairy, which is probably even worse than real dairy.
I mean, you're the wrong guy to talk to about all starch or, like, health.
Yeah.
I'm a really picky eater. I don't like a lot of foods. So, like, I end up eating, like, a lot of basic, like, I eat hot dogs way too fucking much, which is, like...
Okay. Is that your, I don't feel like thinking about what I'm gonna eat, so I'm just gonna boil water and put in a hot dog? I'm like that with my veggie, I still eat veggie burgers, mm-hmm. and I'm like that with those. That's my, I don't wanna think about... Like, I don't... This is too much going on. I don't want this to be part of my day, but I also don't want to eat out
yep.
again or get takeout.
Hot dogs and frozen pizza. I've, like, eaten so much of it. I also probably ate a billion peanut butter and jelly sandwiches over the course of my life.
Okay.
Like, that was what I took to school every day.
I used to eat just peanut butter sandwiches. That's how fucking weird I am. I'm kind of a picky eater, too, though. But I'm more so, I don't like 99% of condiments.
Okay, so like no ketchup, mustard, no.
No ketchup, no mustard. I just realized that I like barbecue sauce.
Yeah, a good barbecue sauce is good, yeah.
Most salad dressing I don't
So you love salad but not salad dressing?
Salad with lots of vegetables, with peanuts, and olive oil is like my favorite. That's comfort food to me, honestly, which is, well, I have the regular comfort food that everybody else has, but I'm lucky that that excites me sometimes to just like eat a salad.
That you're very lucky that yeah. excites you. That's not the case for most people. That's hilarious.
That's like when you're like when you watch like deprived porn, but then you just want to go back to like two girls kissing on YouTube. It's kind of, you know, you're like, I know what the good stuff is, but everyone, I know this is good for me. So, was that analogy not perfect?
I don't know.
No?
No, yeah, no, it was perfect. It was a perfect analogy.
Okay.
Two girls kissing.
That was my jam for the longest time. I would just
seriously.
I mean, like when I was young, not now. But every once in a while,
but apparently now also, if you need to train yourself in,
I like to baseline to like go back to normal.
Well, you'll fuck your head up if you like stay in the dark zone,
dude,
too long.
There was a open mic recently that I went to, and there was a comic, and I don't know who he is, but he had a hilarious joke, and it was one of those that, like, only you laughed at. Like, you ever have that moment where you laugh, and then the butt of the joke is really, you were the only one that found it funny?
Uh-huh.
Well, here we go. Here was the joke that only I laughed at. He said, have you ever gone on Pornhub and then searched for something, and they couldn't find anything? Like, you were the first person to search that.
that's not a bad premise.
Like, there's 7 billion people in the world. I would assume... What, like, two-thirds of people have access to the internet?
Yeah.
And maybe half of those people are men, and 100% of them watch porn. So that's a couple... I'm not great with math, but...
It's a lot of people.
Yeah, and I laughed so hard. And it was one of those things where... Like, it had to be addressed. The guy was just like, you relate to that, don't you? I'm like, cool, I didn't want to sleep with any of the women in this room.
Yeah, you got called out. All one of the women in that room, probably.
Yeah. I can't imagine what it would be like if I... Every time I went to an open mic, there was a good chance that I would be, if not one of the only men, the only man there. Like, imagine being at an open mic and it's all women and most of them are talking about how they fucking hate penises.
Yeah, no, I'd be terrified. I'd be, like, just waiting for the moment when, like, a bag, like, comes over my head and just get beaten senseless. Yeah, that's not...
And I try to, like, remind myself of that because there'll be times where I'll be like, are you going to talk about being a woman again? And that's such a fucking stupid thought to enter your brain. First of all, it's their experience. Of course they're going to talk about it. But B, you have to be made aware of it every time that you're in the room and there's a bunch and they're I mean there's funny women bashing. I mean Bill Burr is hilarious, but you could tell like when he's like going at women that it comes from a place of doesn't come from a good place from everybody.
No, oh my God. No. Well, that's exactly. I saw Bill Burr in Newark about 6 months ago and I did not have a good time because his crowd is Yeah, they're most of them. Most of them are people that seem like they're not in on the joke. Like, I never felt like I was going to get my ass kicked at a stand-up show.
Really?
Yeah, and it was like, they were unpleasant people to watch a show with. And also, you could tell that he was trying to write on stage. Like, it was a loose
set. Oh, I see.
I felt like I got, like, ripped off a little bit. Yeah. Like, I'm sure I love his specials, but I was like, it just felt like he was, like, adding tags to his last special more than doing new material.
Oh, that's interesting. I've only seen, like, a couple of, like, comics. I'm interested to watch Jim Norton's special this year, because I did see him in Montclair, and he's but his crowd is kind of, is the same. I mean, he's so silly, though, Jim Norton. Like, he has those fucking characters and Chip.
Yeah. He does I saw him in Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah, and he did Chip at the end.
But that?
Yeah,
and there's a fucking comic named Chip around here, apparently, and I can't help. Like, every time they call his name, it's every ounce of, like, in my body to not go, "What's that?"
Yeah. I felt so bad for my dad because he was like,
he was with you?
Yeah, we were there. Okay. And he just went, like, he was like, "Let's go see who the comedian is in the hotel." And it was Jim Norton. He's like, "Do you know who that is?" I was like, "Yeah, Jim Norton's hilarious." Forgetting that my dad is a conservative guy. He, like, goes to church. Like, and at one point, Norton gets up there and he's like talking about how, like, he's like, Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah.
So he's like, "Has anyone here ever fucked a tranny? Hands up. Just me." All right, that's right. None of you have ever had to go to a mirror and brush your teeth while screaming faggot at yourself. And my dad was like, "What the fuck is happening?"
And you were, and you were probably laughing like, "Yeah, I know how that goes."
Yeah,
that's totally like, "What is wrong with my son?"
Yeah, that's totally my experience. It was so just like jarring.
I look up to him so much because he is like the quintessential honest comedian. Like, there is nothing that he, I don't think he bullshits ever.
No, he's done a lot of fucked up stuff, too, and he'll just talk right about it.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever listened to his show now that he took over?
With Sam Roberts, yeah. I listen to it almost every day. I love that shit so much.
Yeah, they posted a lot of their stuff on YouTube.
Yeah. I mean, I would never get a serious subscription, so, hopefully saying that doesn't come back to bite me in the ass.
Yeah, Sirius won't sponsor us now.
Damn it.
Sirius XM. All right. More about food, or maybe we covered food.
I don't know. Food, that's about it.
Food's important and necessary.
It's to everyone, but specifically for me. I don't know, and I was fat growing up.
Me too.
Yeah. Oh, you were?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I lost like 50 pounds in college.
Okay.
So, like, I think that has something, like, I think that goes back to punk rock too. I think a lot of kids that grew up bigger, like, find something in punk.
Yeah.
Because you can just look however you look and know, like,
it's the island of misfit toys.
Exactly. Yeah. And then I felt the same way about improv comedy a little later. It's the same sort of just people who had nothing to grasp onto. That's where they ended up.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a lot of crossover in those communities, too. I guess more... Not... It goes one way.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of punks taking UCB classes, but there's a lot of improvisers who like punk rock.
Okay. I mentioned this to you every time you bring up improv, but I really want to try it. But I think, just like I talked about wanting to do stand-up for, like, a year before I even tried it, it's probably... I'm not going to learn my lesson and just do new things without overthinking it. It's probably going to be another year, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I love UCB. They taught me a lot of stuff, but UCB is getting so expensive and so crowded now.
Okay.
The Pit, which is, like, two blocks from here.
Okay.
It's one-fifth of the price, and it's pretty much the same quality. So if you're going to get into improv, I recommend The Pit, The Magnet, or Reckless.
I have this weird thing about UCB, which might not be fair, but is it sort of like you've got to be careful what you joke about?
No, not really. I mean, in the top left, one of the funniest things that's ever happened on the UCB stage was they did this, like, long-form scene where it was in an airplane.
Okay.
And then they started giving clues to each other that, like, eventually the payoff was that it was 9/11.
Okay.
So, like, it, like, started subtly. Like, the two pilots were like, hey, did you see Ben Folds is putting out a new album today? Like, it kept getting more and
Leftover
more.
Leftover Crack, it. Too.
Yeah.
They came out with an album,
and
9/11.
Jay-Z.
Really?
And Jimmy Eat World. Well, Jimmy Eat World, Bleed American was called Bleed American, ooh, but it came out on 9/11, so ooh, they recalled all of them.
It's probably their fault.
They released it as a self-titled. It is Jimmy Eat World's fault.
Fuck.
Punk fan from Arizona.
Yeah, I knew it was them the whole time. I there's something about their sound that I knew they were Islamic fundamentalists. Come on, it just takes some time. It just takes some time, but soon enough you'll be on the line to crash a plane into the first tower. You know, it was all there. It was one of those things, like, hindsight is 20/20, you know?
Yeah, it takes my pain away.
Right. I don't know. I only know one Jimmy Eat
World
song. Yeah, do people know more?
People might know 3 or 4.
Okay. Is that the amount that you know?
No, I know more just because, like... I liked Jimmy Eat World.
You have a guitar.
I do have a guitar.
Oh, shit. We both play guitar.
Yeah, I've been playing since I was, like, 10, and I should be way better than I am because I stopped, like, practicing around, yeah, like, 17, and now I just sort of dick around.
Same
on
boat.
It.
Same boat. Do you ever think about writing, like, funny music?
No, I'm not a very good... I would love to do that. Like, I would love to be... But if I was to do that, it would be hip-hop. Like,
really?
I find hip-hop hilarious. Like, what
John LaJoy? Do you like him?
Yeah, him.
Fucking hilarious.
Like, Lil Dicky.
Yeah.
Of the Lonely Island, uh-huh. I can totally... Like, I love, like, joke, fake sort of rap. I thought one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life was... Have you ever seen The Lonely Island's Finest Girl? It was in their movie Pop Star. I went to a taping of SNL, and Andy came out and premiered the video.
Oh, shit.
And it's a whole song about this guy who's hooking up with a girl, and then she tells him that he needs to fuck her like we fucked Bin Laden.
Okay.
And then it's just... She says, invade my cave with your special unit. I said he wasn't in a cave, but there was no stop, and she demands that I fuck her like we fucked Bin Laden. Yeah, it was the hardest I've ever laughed at something. There's, like, dancers that are, like, dressed up. It's, like, a full-blown pop video.
I always think of when I watch things like that, like, the dancers are real dancers. They're not, like, fake, funny dancers. They're dancers. And who... A good portion of them might not share, like, the sense of humor of like, that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's probably, like, a boyfriend in the audience... Who? I mean, his girlfriend's a dancer. He's probably a fucking writer or something. I don't know why I'm being so judgmental right now. You know? What I'm saying is, like, it's not all comedy fans in the audience.
Yeah, especially not at SNL. It's just like, a New York thing to go do.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think Louis said that when he was talking about, like, hosting. Well, I forget who he was talking about it to. But the set where he had the pedophilia jokes, and he was nervous about doing that because, and he says, like, a SNL crowd is not a cool New York savvy comedy crowd.
Yeah,
they're from Iowa. And again, look at me being fucking judgmental and elitist.
Well, I mean, it's hard whenever you talk to touring comics, they all sort of agree, like, oh, there's tons of good people out there. But,
yeah,
you know, like, don't go eyebrow.
Like, okay, yeah, yeah.
It's sort of, you have to tailor your material to, but apparently that's changing, too. Like,
okay.
With
the internet and things, people must be more exposed,
yeah,
to stuff.
Yeah, and podcasts, really, like...
Like this one, for example.
Yeah, like this one, for example. But I've heard now places like Minneapolis is a great comedy town.
Okay.
Like, stuff
Denver?
Denver's got, like, the third biggest scene in the country,
yeah,
now, but that's just because most potheads,
yeah,
are
yeah,
just,
yeah,
moved out there. There's a large cross-section between potheads and comics.
Oh, there must be, for every one funny weed comic, there must be, like, 1,000 that are, like, LOL guys, 420 blaze it.
Oh, those are the worst. Like, being a weed comic, I think there's,
right,
like, one guy that's made that work since, like,
yeah.
There's Cheech and Chong.
Right.
There's Doug Benson now.
Yeah. Do you know how... do you know how old Doug Benson is?
He's like 53.
Isn't that fucking crazy? I thought he was like 30. But I guess that's what happens. No, that's probably, he's probably the exception, not the rule.
Right? Oh yeah. There's no way that, or like in Super High Me, that documentary he made, he like got all his he did a bunch of doctor tests and he's like completely fine. I think he just is like the Ozzy Osbourne of weed. Like he just can't kill himself.
Right.
He tried like fucking.
By the way, I'm not covering my mouth with my hand anymore.
Hey, there you go.
I wasn't doing that the whole time, but like for the last 30 seconds, then it dawned on me that as I was looking at the microphone, that wasn't the smartest way.
Yeah, the levels seem fine. There might be one or two times where it like pops because we both got loud, but
yeah,
you know, I'm not an audio, you know, guy.
I couldn't even figure out how to do this. I'm such a moron.
I mean, it's pretty easy. You just
don't underestimate.
You just getting the microphone was the hardest part.
Okay.
But yeah, we're going real into stuff now. We'll do a third one and then we'll take like a quick break.
Okay. So my third one is Prague.
Okay.
I taught for a little over a year in Prague. I taught English, which I am aware is a very white sentence to say.
No, I mean that's the easiest way to get to live in another country.
Because I never studied abroad. And I really regretted that decision. And my buddy, he was going to do it, like, on a whim. Like, we had both graduated from college, but we both moved back in with our parents and were both delivering pizza. Like, we were at the same level.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, dude, I'm just going to, like, go to Prague. It's, like, in the middle of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to teach there. Cost of living is low. I mean, we made, like, $12 an hour. Well, I did. He actually ended up leaving after we took our TEFL course.
Which is?
TEFL is Teaching English as a Foreign Language. It's fucking great, man. If you have a bachelor's degree, they want you. You know, especially like this school. I actually did really well, and I have no understanding of the English language. I mean, I'm a native speaker, as you know. And I think I just had like stage presence. Like, I think I had charisma. Like, I know that sounds so fucking stupid.
No, it makes tons of sense.
But I would do not as well, like, academically. Like, we would have, we had practice students. Mm-hmm. Like, these people that wanted free English classes, so they'd come in and we would teach them. And, like, there would be 45 minutes of me doing a lesson and 45 minutes of someone else doing a lesson. And 9 times out of 10, person was way more prepared than I was. But the teacher just, something about my lessons, I don't know. She was like, oh, you were just like, you were really funny and engaging. And I got like really high like marks for that. And unfortunately, it took me another year to realize maybe I should do stand-up.
But I'm sure that helped. I'm sure having all that practice in front of people, like, helped.
Yeah, I mean,
well, it seems like you've always been kind of naturally drawn to performing, like, between the singing and then the...
Yeah, I guess so. Which is weird, because I'm just getting over, like, stage fright now.
Really?
Like, I didn't... I don't know, I never really had stage fright, like, doing, when I was in the punk band. But that was because it was low effort. I mean, we had great songs, I think, but our persona was like our slogan was Mental Spanking. That's the name of the band. Mm-hmm. Mental Spanking sucks. And you know, I found out later we actually stole it from Primus, but people would like, it's the exact same, no originality there, but people would yell Mental Spanking sucks. So it's hard to bomb. First of all, it's hard to bomb when you're playing music, and I'm sorry to all the musicians out there, but it's so much easier to eat shit doing what we do.
Oh, absolutely, because if people are just watching you, you've succeeded in music. That's
yeah.
It. You, like, if people watch you silently, I mean, you've still played music. And...
Well, you're asking so much more for people too, from people when you're doing comedy, though, because with, like, I've been to, music open mics where it's like, oh, this person is nice enough to play background music for us while we sit with our date or our friend and, like, drink our beverage. With comedy, it's like, everybody shut up, listen to what I think. I have these very formulaic things, which you'll know when you were supposed to laugh but didn't. That's fucking terrifying. I can't believe we do it all the time.
Yeah, I guess you get numb to it almost at a certain... Like, you can't... Do you ever, like, The only time I'll ever get nervous is if a lot of people have been eating it in front of me, and then there's that time when my name's been called, but I haven't gone up yet.
Yeah.
That, like, 10 minutes where you just get to be, like...
Yeah, yeah.
You feel like you're, like, third cow back on the slaughterhouse line.
Right, right.
Like, you're just like, why would this stop for me? Like,
and you're watching people that you know are better than you. Like, you're like, this guy is objectively... Or maybe this is just how I think. I'm like, this guy is objectively, like, more talented and funnier than me and does better than me. And he just ate it. So, oh boy. Here
we go. I try not to think like that. Because really? I've seen people who I know get, like, road work eat it and then, like... I'll just try to, like, focus on me.
Okay.
Like, I don't, like, so I think people let that get in their head where they'll, like, do something that's not what they were gonna do, like,
okay.
to try to work with a bad crowd. But, like, I usually try to stick to my guns, and it never goes, like, horror, or it used to all the time. Like, recently, it's been going a little bit better. So, like, I don't know. I try not to let that get in my head.
Okay.
Like, I don't try to think, like, that guy is way better.
Really?
Unless they're, like, obviously, like, get
right.
booked at clubs
Working
and stuff.
Comedy.
But, like, the open mics that we go to a lot,
yeah.
there's very rarely a time when I'm like, this person is leaps and bounds better than me.
Well, that must be very nice to...
you don't think that? You have no reason to think that, like, there's people that are, like, so far... away. I now, like, every, like, I don't want to name any names.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, no, that'd be horrible. It's not like there's people that are obviously very successful, but I don't sit there being like, they're at an unattainable level.
Well, oh, huh. Yeah, that's not how I operate. It's not jealousy, by the way. It's, I want to obtain that. And, you know, anyone that does more shows than I do is more successful than I am, and I have to... There's something that I have to emulate, or at least study,
uh-huh.
you know?
No, you can learn something from, like, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, not everyone.
Again, I wanted to say names so bad, just now, I'm not gonna do it. You're, like, goading me into talking shit about people.
You said we were going to break?
Yeah, oh, well, yeah, that's it. We'll talk a hell of shit about people during the break and get it out of our system. But no, we need to talk more about Prague.
Right.
So, what language did they speak?
They, Prague is the capital of the Czech Republic,
uh-huh.
which just became a country in 1993. Before that, it was Czechoslovakia.
Uh-huh.
Now, there are two different, like, groups of people, Czechs and Slovaks. But they had one country for a long time. Their languages are very similar. But people in the Czech Republic speak Czech. I did not have to speak Czech. That was not a prerequisite to going there. Once you pass your course, you get your own classes. And they would never give someone that doesn't speak Czech a beginner's class.
Uh-huh.
So, and actually, the students prefer to have someone... Like, they... My students at, like, the intermediate level, they wanted to not say, what does this mean in Czech? You know, like, they wanted to be forced to have to... I mean, some of my classes were conversation classes where I didn't even teach. We would just talk like we're talking right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just want to... Once you get to a certain level, you need to practice to get better.
Yeah, and conversational is different
than speaking,
textbook.
Yeah, and I'm speaking as what they've told me. I don't know a second language, and I assume you don't either. it's such a handicap, I feel like. But you know the what's stopping us from learning? That we speak the world language.
Yeah, the one that almost everybody can sort of fall into. Yeah, all the time I spent in Italy, not that I spent a ton of time in Italy, it was like 3 weeks, but like, I never needed Italian.
Yeah.
Ever.
In fact, I would have I tried to learn, and I learned a little bit, but, you know, Prague is a modern city, and you can guarantee almost everyone under 30 is going to at least know more English than you do Czech. And I would have this thing happen to me where I would try to, like, order food in Czech, and they would just look at me, like, very cute and answer in English, you know?
Uh-huh.
So there are expats that live there and have learned the language, so it is doable. But for me, when you take out some of the incentive,
Yeah, like, you don't need to. Like, it's not, like, a desperation. They, for sure. And I feel like the older you get, the harder it is to learn languages.
Yeah.
Too. Like, that's, like, a whole thing.
I do think that that's, certainly that's a thing, but it's, it comes down to motivation, I think.
Oh, yeah, if you want to, yeah, that's, like, everything. Yeah. Like, if you really fucking sat down and studied language.
Yeah.
It, we're all going to have to learn Chinese soon anyway, yeah, so.
And they have a different alphabet and everything.
It's hard. It's, like, the hardest one. And like, can't, like, a different country take us over?
Right. Germany. Well, that didn't sound good. I was, because English is a Germanic language.
One of the Latin based ones.
Yeah. Well, English isn't a Latin language, I don't think. I think it's a Germanic language.
Huh.
This gives you an idea of how much about the English language you have to know in order to teach it abroad, by the way.
Huh.
But I made $12 an hour doing that. It's not like, I know some places in South, East Asia, you're like, you're making crazy money. But, like, Prague is a cheaper standard of living than New York, but not, like, that much, you know? Mm. So, yeah, I was kind of, like, just getting by, you know? But it was fun.
I've never been. I'll have to check it out sometime.
Yeah, it's like an unsung... I mean, people know about Prague, but it's not like a Paris or a Berlin or whatever. But it's right... It was a great place to live because, like, you could spend a weekend in Budapest or a weekend in Berlin.
My sister spent a month in Prague, and she said it was her favorite place she stayed in Europe.
Yeah. Czech people are fucking so funny. They're cool. They're really... It, you know what took a little getting used to, though, and I had been warned about this, and I didn't think it would take a lot of getting used to, but sort of that, like, Slavic mentality. Like, they find it fucking weird that you walk into a shop and they're like, hey, how are you? Like, it's just foreign to them, you know? But it was very good for not speaking the language because if you deviate from the script, like, if you're, like, buying groceries at a supermarket, you say, Dobry den, prosim for please, Jekui for thank you, and Nasklanano for goodbye. And if you say anything other than those things, you're a fucking lunatic and no one wants anything to do with you. I can't imagine, like, being right off the boat in, like, New York City and just having... like, regular conversations with people just to go about your day. That must be so stressful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, when you're used to just being, like, doing your own thing.
Right.
Well, I feel like that's, like, even, like, going down to the South. Like,
okay. It's even worse.
New York City here, I feel the way that is. Like, right. There's a lot of, like, do your fucking business. Right, if you're going to exchange pleasantries. But, like, in the South, they want to know your fucking life story. They're like, oh, well, what are you... Like, you don't sound like you're from here.
Yeah.
Where are you from? What are you doing here? It's like, fucking sell me some gum, lady. Like...
There's this one woman cashier that works at an Acme by my apartment. And I'm so sad whenever she's there. And that makes me a fucking dirtbag to say. But she loves, like, talking to me about stuff. And, like, I'm the same way, man. Like, especially, like, doing a bunch of mics. You get kind of, like, social fatigue after a while.
Oh,
like,
my God.
You get, like, cagey. You're like, all right, I just... It's because... I think comedy is a very social thing for mostly for people that aren't very social.
Uh-huh.
So it causes this weird dichotomy for, and I feel like for the most part I'm extroverted, but when I'm buying my groceries, man, I don't want to talk to you about the weather or politics.
Oh my God. that's my nightmare is like I have a barber now that does not say anything.
That's perfect.
Haircut conversation has been like an anxiety thing for me. Like every time I had to go get a haircut, I used to like grow my hair out because I was like, I do not want to fucking have a 20-minute conversation with a stranger. Like,
it's so bad, especially when you're like a weird person like you and I are.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's some people that are like, I majored in business in college and now I'm a vice president of a bank and I have a girlfriend that I'm going to propose to within 3 to 5 years. Like,
normal stuff.
Yeah, like regular fucking people shit.
On that note, do you tell people you're a comic? Like, if they...
I have a new job and I just told my one of my coworkers... I actually told him I was doing Comedy Fight Club
we happened to be talking about roast battles, so I did like squeeze it in where it was relevant. But my last job, no one knows.
Really?
No one had a clue. Because you know what? And I was like my first job that I had when I started doing comedy was like a cubicle farm. Mm-hmm. And and this makes me sick to my stomach to say, but I was like the funny guy in the office. Like people are like, oh, look out, Bobby's here. And I would say like stupid banana, like I would just be silly and like make jokes that would fucking get you shot at an open mic. And I didn't want that to go away, and it would have if I was like, I do stand-up, because then it wouldn't be like, isn't Bobby funny? They'd be like, isn't Bobby trying a routine on us right now?
Yeah.
Which I'd never do that to people, by the way. I never try my jokes if it's not on stage, unless you're counting my Twitter feed.
Yeah. I've been guilty of, if I have a couple drinks and a topic comes up that I know I have a line for, I will slip it in and be upset if it doesn't work.
Like, right.
But it's not something I do all the time, but there's definitely been times where I've had one too many and I start being like, well, you, oh, before talking about fucking roller coasters.
Right. Like, you can almost kind of hear it in my, like, if I did do that, you'd be able to hear it in my voice.
I'm surprised I don't get called out on it every time I do it, because it's obvious that I'm like, no word for word what I'm about to say.
The worst part is when I'm talking to a friend of mine. Any friend that doesn't do comedy, and I say something off the cuff that's funny and it makes them laugh, and they're like, you should do that on stage. Like, you, it doesn't work like
it's
that.
It's like, let me worry about that part. Or, like, my family, every time, they're like, oh, well, we're all getting together. You're going to get some great material. It's like, do you want me to shit on you?
Right. Like, also, like, yeah, that's a very funny thing, because, like, I feel a lot of people are like, oh, we're crazy. I'm like,
not.
Like, you ever, and this is only, like, probably someone that's like new to it and hasn't gotten the feel to it yet, but like someone on stage and they're like, let me tell you about my crazy family, and you're like, your family's normal, like there's nothing
funny. It's like everybody has like weird stuff about them.
Yeah,
like the bar for crazy family and comedy is like, if you weren't getting like actively like
molested,
yeah, or like set on fire and like
or molested while being on fire, which would be
all kinds of different shit. Like, there's people that have real fucked up pasts or like fucked up presence, and then it's like hard for someone else to get up there and be like, well, my aunt is quirky and she has like a glass of wine and talks to the cat. It's like, well, that's not that.
My father used to tie me up and put cigarettes out on my back.
Another Breakfast Club.
Yeah, another Breakfast Club reference. Dad, if you're listening, which you will be because you're a very cool guy, you didn't do that. Don't worry, you didn't black out one night and do that and forget. It was just an example, and I didn't even know it was from the Breakfast Club until I fucking said it.
I like that your dad might listen to this. My parents are both going to listen to this.
Are they?
My dad, we were just in Las Vegas last week, and we were playing poker, and he had headphones in.
Okay.
And then he started laughing to himself, and I like looked at him, and then he held up his phone, and it was the first episode of this.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, what just made you laugh? And he was like, you and your friend were trying to do Mark Wahlberg impressions.
Was he laughing because the impressions were good? Or they were
somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
I mean, if you just keep doing Wahlberg voice, eventually it's going to...
Uh-huh.
Might be amusing, but that's... Yeah. So, that's cool. What... Like, you were 23?
Yeah. About... Yeah, 23.
Yeah, I should do that next year.
You can. I don't know. I don't think there's a comedy scene in Prague. I think there's like one comedy club in Prague. I could be wrong. Anybody correct me, that'd be great. But I do know that there's a big one in Berlin. And there's actually a lot of American and other nationality, like, expats there. Like, there's American comedians that live in Berlin and do comedy in Berlin.
Amsterdam has a huge American comedy scene.
Okay.
A lot of people from the mid-2000s Saturday Night Live came from Second City, Amsterdam.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Sudeikis and Seth Meyers. Like,
oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh. See... That's funny. So I don't have to live in America to do comedy. But you know what? I realized, like, living in Prague, it was great. But I'm American and want to live in America, which is a weird thing. I'm still not a patriotic person. I'm not that. But this is, like, where I'm supposed to be.
I agree completely.
I don't know. I don't know why that is either, because there are some people that, I mean, friends that I have from Prague that are, they're like, yeah, dude, I live in Prague now. Like, this is, and they have family that they love, then they come back and visit on the holidays, but they're like, I live in the Czech Republic. I'm learning Czech. I want to be a Czech citizen. I mean, there's, like, objectively, there's a lot of better things about, I don't want to be the American liberal that does this, but it's true. Like, there are.
Like, what, there are like universal healthcare and stuff?
Universal healthcare. I mean, I paid as a foreigner.
No rednecks is pretty great, probably.
What's that?
No rednecks.
Oh, there's rednecks. There's rednecks everywhere.
It's their own version of it, but like...
Yeah, their rednecks are communists, though, which is weird. It's kind of a weird inverse from what we're used to. But you just have to be you have to be a political extremist to be a redneck, I guess. It doesn't matter which side. Here you have to be on the right, but over in the satellite countries, you're on the left.
I just... Anybody that, like, votes red because of, like, their tax bracket, right? I understand that completely.
Right.
It's just the people that are like, well, we can't let that bitch get her fucking period all over the nuclear code. Like, those people bother the shit out of me. Like, why are we allowed... Like, why are you allowed to have... Everyone should get their opinion, but that specific one blows my mind that they're still, like... allowed to...
The fact that, and I know everybody talks about Trump. I mean, how could you not? He's going to be president
tomorrow.
This is
the last night.
Jesus Christ. I mean, I have a couple I do a couple Trump jokes, too, but, like, it's really not... It's not funny to me.
No,
it's
sad.
And the fact that he... Even him winning the nomination has changed American political discourse forever. Mm. I mean, because you ever talk to someone, and they're like, well, you know, Trump, but also Hillary. I'm like, they're not in the same... fucking like, seriously, you listen to Donald Trump talk and you think he's as intelligent as Hillary Clinton?
He's just a big narcissist,
right?
He loves himself. He's
people who say that Clinton is a narcissist, and that may be true, but she's at least an intelligent
one. Well, to think that you should be leader of the free world, you have to have some level of narcissism.
I don't know about that.
I think the idea that you're like, you know, all these millions and millions of people, you know who should be in charge of them?
You can
me.
You can objectively know that you have above average intelligence and able to pull that off.
I think anybody with that, though, knows that the presidency is a shit job and wouldn't take it.
Yeah, okay, there is a certain amount of, you want your name to be in the textbook, you know, we're both trying to be famous.
I get it too. I'm not bashing it. I'm just saying, I think it's like the most narcissistic thing you can do is claim to want to be leader of the free world.
But at least the most of the people, dude, this guy's making me like nostalgic for George W. Bush.
George W. Bush was, he was a goofy guy, and
right.
I don't have enough money to really fucking care about anything beyond social issues.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I'll lean so hard left on the social.
Okay.
Well, if you're still scared of gay people in
yeah,
this
go fuck
day
yourself,
and age, like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, you're just a stupid person.
I have no idea. I mean, I grew up Catholic, right? And, like, a mixture of that and just, like, being a teenager, I understand... homophobia, you know, but like past like 16, I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
What is there to be afraid of?
I don't get it.
It makes zero sense to me.
I don't know, but and it afflicts men more than women. I know it afflicts women,
yeah.
But there's definitely something tied up to masculinity. And just I don't know, there's certain type of guys when they see like the any performance of anything that can be considered feminine, and they just get angry.
Yeah,
it's a weird thing.
That makes me think they're gay, and they're just
not.
Like,
I mean, there might not be. I think that's like a funny thing. People are like, oh, you don't like gay people? What, are you gay? It's like, are you trying to use the homophobia against them? I don't understand.
It's like, I don't know. It's just, I think anybody that, like, or you see it in politicians, too. Like, a lot of times, whichever is the issue that they're really, like, weirdly about, like, that's what they're doing at home.
I have a theory about that, by the way. A lot of, like, your Larry Craigs and, like, people make jokes that Mike Pence probably is secretly gay.
Uh-huh.
I think a lot of those, like, Christian guys
that, you know, claim to be anti-gay and secretly are gay. I think a lot of them are bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they think that you could that you could choose your sexuality, because from their standpoint, they're attracted to men and women, but they only choose to fuck women. Like, they think that everyone's on that yeah. scale. Like, they don't understand that there's guys that like don't want to fuck guys, and that's why they don't fuck guys. Like, it's just alien to them. He's like, well, guys, we all want to blow guys, right? Am I right?
You're probably exactly... That's probably exactly right. And I think that's as good a time as any to take a break.
Okay.
We're actually running long. This is awesome.
Ooh.
So, all right, yeah, we'll be back in a second. All right, so, and we're back.
We did an erase.
A near miss everything. Of me almost erasing everything. All right, so let's just get right into it. What's this...
We're on number four, right?
Number four or number two, depending on the scale.
All right. We're on, okay, we established it's an descending scale.
There's no particular order. Okay. Sometimes people rank them, sometimes people don't.
They're in no particular order, but this one is an important one, and I'd say sobriety.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's a big part of it. So you've been sober for how long?
Almost a year.
Really? It's that recent?
Yeah, it'll be a year in March.
Wow, congrats, yeah. Man. That's awesome.
It is, it sounds weird to think of it as an accomplishment, because really what it is just you being less of a piece of shit. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
But you're like, I was a piece of shit, and now I'm less that.
There's a lot to talk about here, because it's always been interesting to me that you got into comedy after getting sober, because
thank
that's not usually
Christ.
The dude. Yeah, because it can be destructive. I'm seeing it firsthand. Like, I've been drinking like way more than I ever would have had I not been hanging out in bars every night. So I like commend your self control, because you gave it up and then went to the place where it is.
Yes,
like, you see these people that are disasters of people at these mics because they're drunk all the time.
Which, and I would be. The worst that you've ever seen at a mic, me being drunk at a mic, because I would not handle bombing well intoxicated.
You would just go after people.
I would probably tell people why they were stupid for not understanding my punchlines.
Mm-hmm.
And
I've seen drunk people do exactly this. Again, you can't name names, but I know what happened.
Yeah. No, I mean, and I would, you know, it's funny, too, getting sober, when, I think most of the time when I was drunk, I was a happy drunk, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, but it would have killed me financially, first of all. Like, to do that, like, doing open mics kills me financially, so I can only imagine if I'm, like, binge drinking
just
at every
spending,
mic.
Spending, like, $50 at the bar every night.
Forgetting to record my set, probably heckling people.
Yeah, that would have been a big one.
Yeah. I've seen comics heckle other comics intoxicated, and I've seen comics heckle other comics not intoxicated, and the latter surprises me more than the former.
Yeah. I mean, you have to have something good to say. Like,
No way. No, I did a set once... and someone interrupted me with something that was way funnier than anything I was going to say. But fuck him. Because you just had 5 minutes.
Yeah,
or you
that,
will
yeah,
get to
right.
have 5 minutes, buddy. Like, oh, you get to practice for when you get heckled at a show. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it, alright?
Yeah.
You let me tell my jokes. Yeah, that was an interesting experience, because I had to pretend like it didn't bother me.
Because you can't just start fighting people. I saw someone come into Climate very drunk about 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And it was the guy's first time on stage.
Oh,
and
shit.
They were going at them. And Neil Rubenstein shut that shit down right away. He was hosting. He was like,
wait, so this drunk, he's a first timer, he's drunk.
No, first timer's on stage, a drunk person's heckling him.
Oh, I see. Okay, and yeah, Neil will not.
No, Neil's
a bouncer.
Yeah, Neil shut that shit down right away. He was like not having it. It was pretty awesome to watch, actually. You know who I love watching throw hecklers at is Jack Buckin' Johnston.
That, really?
Yeah. I thought he was older than me when I first met him because of his, like, confidence.
Yeah, yeah.
There was one night where this guy, he's like an 80-year-old guy, comes down into the showroom, and he's got
someone who is obviously a hooker with him.
Really?
Like a 20-year-old half-naked black girl covered in tattoos. Like,
okay. He's just this, he knows how to party.
I'm like sitting in the corner of somebody and they're like, is that a hooker? And I'm like, no shit, that's a, like, yes. And then it turns out that this guy owns like all of 7th Street between 1st and 3rd Avenues.
Okay.
Like, he's a billionaire. He
I
owns
think
the
I know who you're talking
he
about.
He owns the bar.
Yes.
So he's drunk with this girl. Jack is doing his hosting thing. The guy is not stopping. He is like chirping.
Not even like, not that there's an acceptable level of heckling, but there is a type of person that'll heckle and then be like, okay, now that's enough heckling.
Yeah, it's like,
you know what I mean?
I said my piece. No, this guy was not done. And I got called first that night. So Jack was like, he, at the end of his thing, he's like, hey, it's one thing when you're fucking around with me because I'm the host and I, like, but if you, you better stop now. So
good.
So
that's a fucking great way to handle it.
Uh-huh. And so I get up there and I'm a little too stoned to be on stage. So I'm looking at him trying not to laugh because he's just with this hooker at an open mic. Who takes a hooker to an open mic?
Probably a lot of comics.
Probably.
No, that is an odd thing to do.
So I sort of said, like, I kind of looked at everyone else and then, like, eyed at him. I was like, I think I'm too high to, like, handle this right now. And they all started laughing, and then he's like, get started! Tell a joke! And then Jack from behind the booth is like, you better shut the fuck up, old man, before I drag your old ass out of here. And then,
good.
20 seconds later, he says another thing. Jack instantly grabs him.
Are you? Whoa!
Out. Out. And then the girl on the way up turned around and was like, I've only known him for 20 minutes.
It's his wife. It was Jack Johnson physically threw somebody.
Like an 80-year-old like billionaire.
Yeah. Good for him, dude. I don't know what I would like to think I would have handled it the same way, except I can't see myself like dragging, and it was the right thing to do.
He wasn't like, the guy wasn't like going limp on the floor, like,
oh,
he had his hand on his, it wasn't like he was like literally.
Oh, but so he got up and left when asked then.
When Jack went over and was like, look, buddy, I'm gonna fucking freak the fuck out if you don't get out of here.
Dude, good. Good.
Yeah, it was.
I'm gonna shake his hand the next time I see him.
Yeah, it was really.
I still feel kind of bad because we did a mic together and I went up before his set and had. Aside from the first time I've ever went up, the worst set I've ever had. And you know when you're at open mic and the person right before you is just bombing? I did that to him. And I know it happens, but I still feel good. I still, like, I haven't talked to him since that happened. So two things I'm going to tell him is good job kicking the old man out and sorry for bombing so bad that no one could possibly enjoy your set afterwards.
Yeah. So we can get back to, did you go to like AA or was it just on your own or?
Yeah, I do go to a support group. I go to one in person, but also online, and mm-hmm. I probably use the online one more often, which is probably not the best way to go, but I'm just, you know, I am lazy.
What was the process in you being like, I have to stop?
You know, it's funny to me because people talk about rock bottom,
uh-huh.
right? But my last experience drinking was not even my worst experience drinking, you know? I'm still not able to understand why that was just like I'm like, I can't do this shit anymore.
You just had like an epiphany?
This is over. Yeah. I had, it was a Sunday night and I went out with the intention to have one beer. And as everybody who knows how alcoholism works, that did not pan out. And I lived with my parents at the time. And I came home late. I had work the next day. I definitely scared my mom. That's how I got this scar on my chin, by the way, which I'm now covering with my pube beard. And, yeah, I don't know. I woke up and, I was too hungover to go to work, but I didn't want to not look like I was going to work, so I drove to the mall
and I watched a Sacha Baron Cohen movie. It was the most depressing time of my life because I'm just sitting there watching this. It was the action movie that he had last year.
Brothers Grimm.
Yeah, and which might be a great movie, but I'll never be able to enjoy it because I was just sitting in the theater. Like, I'm sure they thought I was like a heroin addict just because I was like just hungover and not able to enjoy the movie. And I'm there by myself at 10:30, and I was the only one in the theater. Just like riding it out. I saw like another movie. I don't even remember what kind. I went to a diner twice just like to eat up 8 hours. And I went home and I told my mom, I'm like, I gotta stop drinking. And she's like, I'm really glad that you came to that conclusion. Because that's the thing. You can't, no one can tell you
that you have to stop. Yeah, you have to want to.
Yeah. I mean, a judge can, but even that has limits. Even that,
you'll go back.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't judge anybody because I've had worse things than that happen, and it's an illness like anything else.
Yeah.
But see, I look at like I'm allergic to alcohol, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which like the way anyone's allergic to anything, except you don't have to continually remind yourself that you're allergic to the thing so that you won't, like, it doesn't work with anything else.
Yeah.
Like, all you have to do is break out in hives once and you won't eat peanuts again if you can't eat peanuts. I had to drink heavily for years until I realized, hey, this is not... I can't handle it,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, and that's tough. I mean, and it does... It leads to nothing good, like drinking to excess most of the time. As somebody who enjoys doing it, I try not to, like... It, again, like I said, it'd be so easy to get drunk every night doing comedy, and it, like it's like an active, like, I see the slope that you could go down, especially like we said, there's so many people that you see. It's an interesting thing. So it's almost a year,
and it's definitely one of those things where I have it built up in my head that when it's a year, I'm like, it's a year, but day 366 is probably going to feel the same as day 302 or 303 that I'm on now.
Well, on that, was it hard? Did you realize it was an addiction at giving it up? Like, were the first few weeks...
Well, I knew that it was an addiction before I stopped.
So were there, like, withdrawals? Were you, like, having a really hard time doing it at first?
And this is something that... this is crazy because I knew that it was dangerous to withdraw from alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually the most dangerous drug to withdraw from.
That's what killed Amy Winehouse.
Yeah. No, she actually died of alcohol poisoning.
I thought she died of withdrawal after...
She died of alcohol poisoning. She complicated by the fact that she was anorexic. So she had very little body weight, and so it was easier to die of alcohol poisoning. I also have a weird, like, encyclopedic knowledge of different people's, like, famous people's relationship to alcohol, because this is going to sound fucking crazy, but I just, like, Googled people that have died from alcohol just to have it in my brain.
To scare yourself, pretty much. Dude, not 3 weeks ago, someone that I used to work with was, like, 35 and had an alcoholism-related heart attack.
Yeah.
And died. He was, like, a bigger guy. He was, like, 350 pounds, too, but, like... The doctor said it was, like, from excess drinking.
Yes.
And people didn't even know. That guy kept it a secret.
Yeah. People were surprised when at work. I mean, and that's the funny thing, though, about alcohol is it's the most, like, accepted drug. So you can go to work hungover sometimes and people don't give a shit.
Yeah, no.
You know, you can't be nodding off or violently sniffing your nose like people are going to talk. But if you're hungover every once in a while...
Yeah, it's normal. I mean, it's like drinking culture, like, especially in Europe. Like, they have, like, a beer break.
That was... I didn't talk too much about drinking in Prague because I knew, like, that this was the order. But, like, that was not a good place to live as someone who's an alcoholic, because beer is actually cheaper than water in the Czech Republic. It's the cheapest place to drink beer. And I'm not exaggerating. It is, like, cheaper to buy, like, a 40 than it is to buy, like, a water bottle. It's crazy.
That's so dangerous.
Yes. No, it didn't,
But, you know, I moved back from Europe and lived in America for another year and kept drinking.
Was it always just alcohol, or did you have, like, other ones, too, that you had to, like, give up? Like, I know, like, if people were to, like, I'd have a harder time giving up pot than I would drinking.
See, I find it interesting that people, like, drink and smoke pot, because for me, I was, a heavy pot user from, like, 14 to 16 and a half, and, but that's just because that's what I had access to. Like, once I had access to alcohol, I'm like, dude, fuck weed. This is so much better.
Really? I know a lot of people who say the opposite. That's very interesting.
There's, I used to read a lot of Bukowski, Charles Bukowski, mainly to justify my alcoholism. That's what you do. I don't know, like... If you ask a comic, like, who's your favorite comic, and they immediately say Doug Stanhope, you're like, there's, like, a 50% chance you have a drinking problem. Like, you just seek out, and I love Doug Stanhope, but you just seek out, like, people that are like you in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this line, and all of his books are, like, autobiographical, and there's this line where he talks about the first time he got drunk, and he said, he was talking about how great it feels, and the last line of the chapter, I think, is this: I knew this was going to be an important part of my life for a long time. And when I read that, I'm like, yeah, I relate to that so much. And it's true. I mean, yeah. you never like stop being this, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like you couldn't, like, there's no point in time where you could just have a beer ever again. Yeah.
No. And it's funny because people will say, like, oh, you had a drinking problem. I'm like, dude, I'm one, literally, like, one sip away from getting that problem back.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, that's amazing. It's,
yeah, I mean, and drinking is only the symptom, right? You know, like, whatever. Whatever else is wrong with me.
It, like, brings out the worst in people, for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Like, were you, like, an angry... Like, you said you were kind of happy, but, like, would you get in fights with people, or would you, like...
Yeah. 99% of the time, I would be a happy drunk, but 1% of 365 days...
So, like, once every, like, 4 months or so.
Yeah, and, I mean, when you're... You could be angry and rational when you're sober. You know, you can't... You know, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do not have a very good frame to be to have a short temper with people. You know,
yeah. Yeah, you're not like the biggest guy. You're like,
yes, for those of you listening, I am 5'6". There's one doctor that I never go to anymore that says I was 5'5". He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. I'm 5'6". I'm about 150 pounds soaking wet, and I have bright orange hair, which makes it worse for some reason. Like, if you're a big guy and you have red hair, it doesn't matter, but when you're, like, a little man, and you have... I used to have a chin strap, which gives you an idea of my fashion sense at the time. And I just... It took...
Wait, what do you have now, then?
This is much better. This is a beard for someone that can't grow a mustache. But it's full.
It is full.
Yeah. I like it.
I'm not saying it's not, but it looks exactly like what I would call a chin strap.
I had like thin baseball player, like, okay. Douchebag. Yeah, I don't know why I thought it was cool. And I immediately shaved it off when someone told me that I look like a leprechaun. I still look like a leprechaun, but I get the chin strap. Put me over the edge.
Yeah, was that a roast battle thing about you?
No.
I'm sure it's coming if you do more than
James,
like...
Pontillo, if you're listening. Well, I don't know when this is coming out.
Tonight.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. This is going to be some, you know, Fight Club's kind of funny because, I will have been in two by the end of this weekend. Both with people that at the time I didn't know very well. And we just, like, would message each other. Like, Dan Winks messaged me. This is the person that I battled 2 weekends ago. He just messaged me, like, everything that you can make fun of a person for. He was like, here's the things about me that are fucked up. And I responded in turn. And that's just, like, it's like a dating profile, but, like, the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was really interesting. And it's weird, like, almost, like, intimate. Yeah. You know, to like, I've sat in my apartment thinking about James Pontillo for like an hour, and that's the longest I've ever thought about someone without touching myself. So
I almost said that about Joe Wiener. I was like, I got most of these, this is the longest I've ever spent on a Facebook page of someone I didn't want to fuck.
Oh, that's good.
I didn't use it, but that was one of the ones I was kicking back and forth. Yeah. And Pontillo claims that the winner of YouTube Face is me.
YouTube Face?
No, me. Like, when you guys... If you win, you face me. If he wins, he faces me. He messaged me that, like, 4 hours ago.
Yeah, he messaged me that, too. I thought it would have been a little more fun if we surprised... If it was a surprise. Yeah, but...
I'm not gonna start doing, like, double duty writing just because I know that
that's a possibility. No, that's not where your priorities are? No. I mean, you're gonna face both of us eventually.
At some point, anyway, yeah.
But you gotta wait until, like, the week before because you don't know what kind of fucked up stuff is gonna happen to either one of us.
Well, no, I feel like me and you now, because of this conversation, actually do have a lot that we could
go off.
Like, having this podcast is gonna make me very roastable.
Yes.
Because I'm gonna talk about tons of stuff.
I just talked about being in a shitty punk band and being in recovery. So.
I've learned a lot about you in this conversation. I know. I've learned that you had a propaganda tattoo, you taught in Prague. These are all new things.
That's... Yes.
So, sobriety, big part of your life this last year.
I wouldn't have, like, the things that I have if it wasn't for sobriety. And I know I haven't been, you know, I haven't even been sober a year, but, like... if I was still drinking, if I didn't make the decision to stop drinking, I'd still be living with my parents. I wouldn't be doing comedy. I wouldn't have the balls to do it. I really wouldn't because I would just be feeling shitty about myself, like too much. I mean, a certain amount of it is good, but.
And it'd be easier to just stay in and drink than it would be to go out and
stay
like...
in and drink or, yeah, I can't imagine what a drunk Bobby set would be like. It would probably be sad too because it would be the same jokes. I'd forget shit halfway through. I'd get into my mind that I was an intellectual and just that. You ever see people that like and again it's you know usually first timers and they're like they just watch too much Bill Hicks. Mm-hmm. And it's like, dude, Bill Hicks wrote, you know, he didn't just go on stage and start talking,
and he spent like 20 years like defining the shit. It's like, oh, man, some people are ridiculous. There's all kinds of... We could do a whole show about stuff people do at open mics.
Yes.
I hate when it's, like, story time with whoever. They, like, forgot to write jokes. They just think that they're...
This isn't quite in joke form yet. I'm just shooting the shit up here.
Nah. Disgusting. It's disgusting.
You could shoot the shit for, like, 30 seconds out of your 5-minute set and then go back into stuff that's written.
I think it's the referencing it that is the part.
Yeah, okay.
Like, don't say that.
Well, that's like, couching... Like, own that what you just said wasn't funny. Don't be like, oh, well, A, B, C, and D. It's like, guess what? A real audience isn't going to give a fuck about A, B, C, and D.
In the same vein, people who announce that they're doing new shit or I'm going to tell an old one. No. Bad. People that blame the audience when their joke doesn't go well. I hate that.
Yeah.
That's like, it's like, just own it. Like, it just...
That's mostly new people though.
I've seen people
go to mics and sometimes you can tell it's like their first
time. Sometimes
it's
not though. So I've seen established people
really
say stuff like that, and it's always a little off-putting because I'm of the mindset that you should. Oh, if you know that joke works to the point where you're going to yell at a group of strangers about how it works, you should be confident enough in it to not do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you should just be able to be like, okay, they didn't like that one. Here's a different one.
Right.
Or here's, like, I'm going to try to figure you guys out. Like, as soon as you turn on them, they're not going to, like, they're not going to be sitting there like, well, you know, this person's right. We are being assholes.
Well, like, you've convinced me. That joke that I didn't initially laugh at. Can you tell it again? Because I'm in the laughing mood now.
Yeah, I just don't see where what it gains you. It's, like, so self-indulgent.
Yeah, I don't, you know. And to me, it's the... I mean, we're very lucky in that we have the next joke option. Actually, that actually comes from an old Jim Norton special. He says the best thing about being a comedian is that you have the next joke option. Like, people will forgive you if you have a good set and, like,
I don't know, a certain percentage of it just doesn't do well. Like, they'll, they'll forgive you. Like, imagine, like, you went to see a musician in concert and multiple times he, like, hit the chord wrong. You'd be like, this guy fucking, like, I want my money back. Comedy, it's just like,
it's, like, almost more part of it. Like,
yeah, people are, like you were saying before, people are more smart about comedy now. I feel like they know how hard it is, and then they want to come on this journey with you. But if you turn on, unless you turn on them and it's fucking funny that you turned on them.
Yeah, like, well, Bill Burr, again, has the most legendary. Philly. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Those are one of those things where, like, I will fantasize alone in my apartment that I did that. You know what I mean? Okay, you're nodding your head, so I'm not a crazy person.
No, yeah, no, that's the same. Have you ever seen the episode of Louie with the heckler at the cellar, too?
Yeah.
Where he calls her a cunt, like, 20 times. Yeah. Like, and this same thing.
You don't think jokes about rape are funny, but you wouldn't be here if that old Chinese man didn't rape your mom. I think about that joke at least once a week, and it makes me laugh.
A guy walked by the room when you were being born and said, hey, look, it's some cunt coming out of some cunt's cunt.
Oh, gosh.
It's one of the funniest, like, meanest, but so perfect. It's so great.
I think, being sober, too, I wouldn't have had, like, enough, like, this much time to just think about shit. You know? Like, that's how you write, is just, and I, like, find an outlet. I have found an outlet for it, I think. Because, you know, sometimes I would just, like, drink to turn the fucking mania thoughts. And I'm not saying I have mania, but like, just the constant wheel of what about this, just to, like,
yeah, you know? No, I know, I relate to that in a big way. I've definitely done that, especially more with marijuana than
yeah, well, any sort of you know, substance that just makes you,
I have a ridiculously hard time sleeping, so the, like, weed helps with that a lot, but it's sort of in the same vein, because it just stops my head from going.
I have this new, I mean, sleeping in general has, you know, after the first couple days of being sober, I slept normally, but, just the, when the thoughts are really, like, when I just can't get my, and that's an old Doug Stanhope bit, actually. He's like, if you have, the way he sets it up is, have you ever tried to sleep sober?
It's hard.
Which I related to. But when I think the punch is, I have a brain that won't shut the fuck up, and I relate to that so much. But my new thing now is, when that's happening, I just turn on the TV and I put on something that I've watched a million times. So either, like, The Simpsons on FXX, or King of Queens, or Everybody Loves Raymond on TV Land. And so it's just something that I won't get invested in.
Yeah.
You know. But and I try to sleep during the commercials, but I don't put too much pressure on myself, because in a couple minutes I could watch the show again. That works really well. Huh. That's how I've been sober sleeping.
That's nice. I, even as a little kid, I was never allowed to have TVs anywhere near my room.
Okay.
Because if it's on, I'm watching it.
You're
regardless
glued?
Of whether I like the thing that's
okay,
on.
Okay, just flashing colors and lights.
The older I get, the more, kinda, dude. The older I get, the more I can, like, it's not so bad, but, like, I'll listen to podcasts sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, a podcast that I don't care about.
Okay.
Like
this one?
Yeah, exactly. or like, if Marin has a guest I don't care about.
Right.
Like, it's some musician I've never heard of.
You could listen to his voice and fall asleep.
I'll put a sleep timer on. Dude, oh my god, one time I saw him on the street.
Okay.
And he's walking towards me, and I'm like, I gotta say something. I'm like, yo, what up, Mark? And he's like, hey, how you doing, buddy? And hearing his voice in person come out of him was, like, terrifying.
Really?
It was like, oh my god, that's his actual voice.
Yeah, how you doing?
Yeah, how you doing? But he had, like, a 20-year-old girl on his arm, too. It was like,
that's something that, and I love Marc Maron, by the way, in case, you know, in case he's listening. Hi, Mark.
My face just there. Be safe.
Yeah, and I'm a big Maron fan. I'm a big Norton fan, and they're both known for dating young women, younger women. And I mean, I guess we'll see. But I don't know if that's something I would be able to
do. Yeah, you're going to have to find out in a couple years.
Yeah.
When you saw Norton, did he do the bit about figuring out that he was Eskimo Brothers with Charlie Sheen?
I remember that he had a Charlie Sheen has AIDS joke, obviously.
He told a story about finding out that him and Charlie Sheen both had sex with Brie Olsen, the porn star, within the same week of each other.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then he says he got tested, and then he's like, I don't know what I have to do to get AIDS or something like that. Oh, man.
That's
I love that guy. He's skinny now, which is weird.
Yeah.
It's it makes me... He's a cute old man, but he should fuck someone his own age is what I'm trying to say. Jim, if you're listening to...
More likely than Marin, but not likely.
More likely?
More likely than Marin. Can you imagine Mark Marin listening to a podcast?
Yeah, he probably gets enough of that at home. Yeah.
All right.
Especially a comic interviewing another comic.
Yeah, there's no part of that. We gotta move on, kind of.
Number 5/1?
5/1.
5/1. We've spoken a lot about it before, and it might seem obvious, but number 1/5 is definitely comedy.
Yeah, so I had an inkling that this was... We can just keep flowing this conversation.
That's, if you notice, at one point I like brought sobriety back up just because I was panicking a little bit. I'm like, but we didn't talk enough about sobriety.
No, we can keep going. I mean, they're going to be kind of intertwined. So no, now that the number,
I think
we've talked about comedy enough. Yeah. Like number one is like we can just keep going now.
I was going to say I think people have heard enough about comics and recovery, but people have probably also heard enough about comics to stuff. It's discussing comedy.
They're two biggest topics.
Yes, basically.
Unless we were to just start going in on The Simpsons. Like,
yeah, you would probably be better at that.
Well, I'm like, I have like a, you know how like some people are like have autism and can play Beethoven,
right?
Like, I just remember episodes of The Simpsons.
Okay,
I'm not saying I'm autistic, but like I have that level of like remembering of episodes. It's like really bad, but it's the best show ever.
You know, it's trippy, which I just want to kill myself for having said, but it's. It really is a trip to watch the first season where it has, like, the different voices.
Oh, Homer's voice is all off and, like...
And it's more about Bart. Like, Bart is the star of season one.
Smithers is black.
I missed that completely. Really?
Yeah, Smithers is black in the first few episodes.
And they just...
No, he's just not. Then he was gay.
Huh. I like to think that there was, like, a board meeting, and they're like, you already have Dr. Hibbert. We need a gay character.
Have you ever heard Jesse Sneddon's joke about Dr. Hibbert?
Yes. Yes, I have.
How he's in the Cosby sweater. Just mean to Dr. Hibbert.
Well, not to dissect his bit, because that's silly, but isn't Dr. Hibbert, like, a Bill Cosby-esque, like, isn't the fact that they're both doctors and he has, like, a silly laugh, wasn't that, like... An homage to... I'm not being stupid, right?
No,
like,
it kind of was, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, comedy. Do you have, like, a favorite comedian?
Yes. I was asked who my favorite comedian was by Rich Voss on stage recently. He was on stage and I wasn't, not vice versa.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know that he was performing that night. And he saw me and his eyes lit up. Because this is just so much...
Yeah,
so much material.
A lot to work with.
So he insults me for a little while, and then he asks me who my favorite comedian is, and my answer annoyed him so much. Because my favorite comedian is definitely Louis C.K.
Okay, yeah, and I'm sure he's like...
Which is many people's favorite comedians, he's like, really, you couldn't have gone with... I think he actually used the phrase overrated, but keep in mind that he would have shat on my answer no matter what.
Oh, yeah, that was exactly... Unless it was him. And even then, he probably would have.
Well, that's what I said first. I said, besides Rich Voss, and everyone laughed. And I think his response was, if I was anybody's favorite comedian, I wouldn't be doing this set right now.
Yeah.
yeah, I think his line that really hurt my feelings... was, because we're both redheads, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he accused me of that's where I got who my favorite comedian is from. And he said, Lewis has cum stains on his wall that look like you and are funnier. And,
That's pretty...
It was...
Burn.
Yes. I felt honored to be roasted by Rich Voss.
Do you have a favorite Louis C.K. joke?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I do, too. It's my favorite joke of all time. What's yours?
I like when he's talking about, you know how good of a person you are. This is yours, too?
Yep.
You know how good of a person you are, how long after 9/11 you waited to masturbate? For me, it was between the first and second tower going down. I had to do it, otherwise they win.
It's the funniest joke ever.
It's so good.
It's the tag on it is so spot on.
Right.
Like, it's funny, and then it just doubles down.
There's actually, like, a YouTuber, and I wish that I could remember his name right now, but he has, like, a comedy channel where basically he dissects jokes,
mm-hmm.
which is something I've been, like, super into lately. Like, why things are fun. You know, you do enough jokes that people don't find funny, you want to find out what makes people laugh.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, I think that's our whole goal.
Yes. And he breaks down this one joke, like, word for word. And it's the one about playing Monopoly with his daughters. Yeah, if anybody... don't listen to me explain the YouTube video, just go watch it, but, like, that's my new thing. Like,
it's like really breaking down what. There's guys like that. Seinfeld's one of those guys too, where he like believes every word is important and you can't waste words. And they
do actually more so Louis than Seinfeld, in the sense that Louis is really good at making it look like he doesn't give a shit what the fuck comes out of his mouth, but it's like perfectly crafted.
Absolutely, yeah. More so than like Seinfeld or Gaffigan, when you can tell that those are like written.
Yeah,
his sounds conversational,
which is I don't know if there's a way to train yourself to do that other than to keep doing it.
Yeah,
when I'm on stage and I'm doing stuff that I know works. Which is very little, but, like 30 seconds. But I sort of have like this rehearsed thing in my voice that I'm sure I hear more than anybody else, but, it bothers me. I want to come off like as more, I guess natural, you know? And so, there are some jokes that the first time I told them was the best response I've ever gotten.
Isn't that like a psychological torture?
You're yes.
You're like, it fucking worked. And what the fuck changed?
Right.
That's happened to me so many times. I think that's like...
In one day it can happen.
Yeah. The next mic, you're like, oh, I got something good for these fucking people.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's the worst.
And I can't even, like, find a... Like, I can't even find a pattern sometimes. Like, I've been to two mics where the one mic was, it was harder to make people laugh, but I made people laugh more at this joke. And then I went to a room that was, like, easy to make people laugh, and they didn't laugh. Like, I'm analyzing my mood. Did I let people, like, fit in, like, did I step over a laugh, and then everyone is, like, self-conscious to laugh, which is what I tell myself usually. Isn't that fucking stupid?
Anything to help, you know? Anything that makes it make sense.
I can almost bear listening to my own voice now. Like, you're supposed to listen to your set.
It gets better.
Yeah.
I listen back to these.
Okay.
Like, usually, like, a few days later.
Okay.
Just in case, you know, something doesn't... I don't know why.
Right.
For some reason, it just interests me, like... That's the most narcissistic thing I've ever said, is my own voice interests me. But
yeah. No. I mean, because when you hear yourself on a recording, is it true that, like, you're hearing how other people hear you?
That's a better way to put it. It's like listening back to the sets. It's sort of, I think it made me better at conversation, is like listening to how I come off in conversation to other people.
Okay. Cunty.
Yeah, you know, like, just a huge dick. Just like a raging asshole all day.
There have been, like, some moments where I'm listening to my set, and if you watch me, like, on the subway, like, listen, like, I will physically cringe at, like, things that I have said, or there'll be a vibe in the room that you didn't pick up on because you were so, like, in your head or something. Or I had one joke that... was, like, so lame that someone went, ugh. I had... But at the time, I was like, this guy knows. It was so embarrassing. And then people were laughing at me being that unobservant, like that much not reading into the situation. And then me going on as if I had just earned that laugh. Like, that they were laughing with me and not at me.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many, like, little moments, but I'm not going to lie. There are some times where I have a set, and I just... I listen to my good sets way more than I listen to a bad set.
There'll be times... I listen to them over and over and over.
Yeah.
I had one just fucking downstairs at the New York Comedy Club. Okay. It was, like, the best set I've ever had. I've listened to it, like, 15 times at least.
Yeah.
It's, like, the one... If I label them in my phone, like I said before, I'll put a star next to it.
Okay.
I thought I did really well, and those are the only ones that ever get played.
Yeah. When I'm in a certain mood, I'll pick one at random.
That's dangerous.
It is, dude, because I've had some doozies.
Oh, everybody has. Those are the ones you remember more than the other ones, where you just like... I guess I'm the worst.
But. And if I do 3 mics in a day and I do really well on one, do lukewarm at one, and like pretty much bomb at one, I remember the bombing the one is what sticks. And I remember when I first started doing it, like the first couple of sets I bombed. People that don't bomb like their first few times going up is amazing to me. Mm-hmm. I want to like suck their dick so. Or their pussy. You can't suck somebody's pussy, but you know.
Can try.
Yeah, I like that. I used the phrase "suck pussy" to like not be sexist just now.
Hey, you know, equal opportunity mouth stuff.
Yes. So I would equal opportunity orally pleasure someone who had that ability to have had it myself, because the first couple times I fucking ate shit, and it's not like eating shit now where it's just like funny to you. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's not like, like, because when you're first starting out, when you bomb, it's not like, well, I know how to do this. I just, for reasons A, B, and C, it didn't happen, but it will happen again. Like that initial when you're like, maybe I fucking can't do this.
Yeah. Maybe it's all over. Yeah. That's, it's a bad feeling. I remember it.
But,
I did good. I made the mistake of trying stand up for the first time at college.
Okay.
College open mic is not an open mic. There was 90 people there. Almost everyone was playing guitar.
Oh shit.
Like I did a set with my improv group beforehand. So they already knew me from like jokes, and I did like 6 minutes and crushed.
Really?
Yeah, because it was the easiest crowd ever.
Okay.
They were like nice. They were like the freshmen that didn't go out.
Okay, okay.
Like they were like there to be happy. And then I remember coming to New York and then going to stand up NY, thinking that I was like, "What's up?
Check this out, you guys."
The rude awakening, doing the exact same 5 minutes at stand up NY to the 6 people that were like all day.
What's interesting to see is. First timers that they're having the realization that they're not with their friends right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because that's what stand up is like very quickly building this rapport with an audience where you don't have to have inside jokes, or they don't have to completely know you to like find you funny, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you're not with people that will find you funny regardless. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There have been times where, for whatever reason, like as I'm walking up, I'm like, nope. Not tonight.
Not this room. Where was your first one? What was your first mic? Where was it?
Climate Lounge. Laughing Buddha.
It was a Climate.
Yes.
That was your first one? Climate,
it's a good first place to go.
Oh my god, Climate is the friendliest room in the city, hands down.
Yes.
That's where I'll try new stuff all the time.
Yeah, yeah. You get like something. Sometimes you do get a real audience. You get people that like just
the fantasy football people.
Dude, that was so fuck. I killed that night, and it has nothing to do with me.
No, they were just having a good time. Well, that happened really early on when I was there, and I got some like confidence in some just garbage bits because people. I remember I was telling a joke when Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates came out, where I was like mad that someone put Zac Efron in a movie about needing a date.
Okay.
It was like the whole joke was basically just like I need a date. Fuck Zac Efron. Like, yeah. I'd fuck that guy. Like, and the fantasy football people ate Woo! That shit up. They were dead.
Yeah.
And, like, if I did that in front of the comics, they're like, yeah, why don't you go suck Zac Efron's dick? Like,
that's the weird thing about doing open mics is it definitely helps you, but it makes you almost sort of write for comics.
Yeah.
Who are the minority of people.
Yeah, and they're just a real shitty minority, too.
When you make a room full of comics laugh, though, that feels good.
The best.
Yeah. But I'm such an idiot. Like, if I have a good set and it's, like, only comics, like, at an open mic, I'll be like, well, that's because I'm a comics comic. Like, that's Bill Burr and Bobby Sheehan. Patrice O'Neill and me.
You're just going to be sitting in the back of the table at the Cellar just like shitting all over everybody. Right. Like,
it's so dumb. Yeah, I had this dog shit bit in front of the fantasy football people about... I don't do it anymore. It's so stupid. I used to talk about I would shave my pubes, but I didn't want my roommates to know that I was shaving my pubes, so I told them I was using my electric toothbrush. Can you tell how good this joke's gonna be by how hard it is for me to even fucking recite it here? But the joke was I was singing while I was shaving my pubes, so obviously I wasn't brushing my teeth. It's a dog shit premise, and it ends with me rubbing the microphone on my balls, which other comics really appreciate.
You don't like that at all.
Yeah, I was still new. Not that I'm not new now, but yeah, the fantasy football people loved it. And they just, I don't know what it was.
They're just easy.
I didn't understand what that was about. And I thought, I actually forget who was the host, but they kept making comments like, oh, the fantasy football people here. And I thought they were just like derogatorily, like referring to them as that. I didn't realize that it was an actual thing where if your friend loses fantasy football, you make them do stand up, which is hilarious because if you do not want to be a comic, that is the worst moment of your life.
Yep. And it's so funny that they're in a room of people that have, like, dedicated yes. months of their life, at least, to just...
Yeah.
Like, your punishment is, like, what we put ourselves yeah. through every day. Like, yeah, this is the worst thing that can come up for you, and it's just, like, this is just what we do. Like, this is life for us. Like,
and it's not even, like, most of us have day jobs, too. So it's not like, oh, this is your life, and this is our life.
It's like, no, I'm volunteering to yeah. put myself through this every night while I'm, like, tired from other stuff. Like,
oh, man.
It's fucked up.
I've been starting, like, with this new job, too. It's been, like, mentally difficult for me. Because now, like, I couldn't quit if I wanted to. I'm not, like, saying that to, like, sound cool.
You're
like,
too
I really, up. I can't, like, I'm thinking about it all the time. And, like, you know, like, almost like when I don't... like do a mic, like if a day goes by and I don't do a mic, I feel like I'm never gonna make it. Like it's a stupid pathology to have because a healthy person doesn't. That's like working like two full time jobs.
Yep, that's exactly what
you
it
know?
Is.
It's not. Every day I take a day for myself. Unless I'm like trying to fuck somebody, that's the only time where like comedy
takes a backseat yeah. for a second.
That's not. I would never trade that. Well, to some extent, I would.
It depends how yeah. good it is, right?
Yeah. Like if I had just gotten laid. And
you
then they're
recharge
like,
the tanks you about yeah. 2 weeks before it's like a big...
You know, it's the oddest thing too when I fuck somebody, I don't have to jerk off for like weeks. It's the crazy like I jerk off every single day until I fuck someone and then like weeks can go by. Like it just recharges me. It's just
damn.
Like Mother Nature is like, see, idiot, that's how you're supposed to come. Alright? Not laying in bed with a paper towel over your stomach. You fucking
oh, the visual there.
Yeah, good luck with that. Don't use tissues, by the way. If you're gonna jerk off, use a paper towel. It's super absorbent. One sheet of paper.
Yeah, no, it's yeah. way cleaner if you're gonna go about it like that.
Yeah. We knew this was gonna get here eventually.
Yeah,
I was like, actually gonna use masturbation as one of my five, but I thought that was a little tacky.
I mean, I had a guy come in here and say weed, so
okay, weed is, but that's. Weed's at least sociable, you know. Masturbation is very much...
It really shouldn't be. It could be, I guess. Then you're like the guy on the subway.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I've heard about like these parties where people like jerk off parties, but there's no way that those are not filled with unattractive men.
Yeah, there's no. No, that sounds horrible.
Yeah,
that sounds. I've never heard of that concept.
Ever. Yeah, I spent too much time on the internet. It is a thing.
Like orgies or just like a bunch of dudes will go to a place.
It's supposed to be the way it's legal and I guess also marketed as sanitary is it's like a mutual masturbation thing. So it's whoever wants to come, but you no pun intended. But
you should have just looked at the
I wanted to see if the arrow went up. No, apparently it's like a mutual masturbation thing, but and like anybody can go, but there's no the gender ratio first of all has to be like at least 5 to 1, and everyone has to be fucking dog shit ugly.
Oh,
I
yeah.
doubt.
I
doubt it.
And like just mentally broken.
Yes, absolutely.
Like at best, even if they're good looking, they are. Dude,
I have enough problems like getting it up with one person. How like a room full of people.
Oh my god. Alright, well I think that's as good
that's where we're gonna end.
Yeah, I think so. We're almost at 2 hours.
Jesus Christ. That went by fast.
Yeah. This was really fun. This was exactly how that's see like the topics help
yeah
bring us back.
Yeah, there was very little awkward silences.
If any.
A lot of awkward non silences, but we pushed through.
Yeah, you know? We made it. Alright, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Do you have anything you wanna like plug?
I'm at Comedy Fight Club on Sunday night. I'm going against James Montillo. He is going down, or I'm going down, or it's going to be very close.
All right. We're excited to see it.
I'm excited for
you
it.
You could like this on Facebook, I guess. That would be the thing to help me.
Follow me on Twitter. I've prepared now. I have a Twitter. I've been tweeting. It's new year, new me. Bobby_Sheehan3.
And I'm Anthony_Path65. All right. This was awesome, man. Thank you for being here.
All right. Let's have sex.
Yeah, let's do it. See you guys.
Hi, Anthony's dad.